Welcome to the Visionary Chronicles, a business strategy podcast where we provide insight to those looking for creative, executable strategies built around the latest disruptive ideas, innovative cultures, product creators, and marketing solutions. Today in the Visionary Chronicles, we're going to talk about growth. In the environment we're in today, that's probably the number one question that I get through Liquid Mind, our brand strategy firm, on the mid to large cap companies we work with. It's the biggest concern that they have today is how do we gain not only market share growth, but obviously through that market share growth is revenue growth. And the challenge that they face is their organic business seems to be deteriorating while the competitors keep increasing. It's not a great formula for long-term success. So I thought it would be a good time to talk about, hey, what are these avenues for growth? And so I mentioned in my podcast, Brand Growth, Find Another Opportunity or Avenue for Growth. And probably one of the biggest questions we get is, hey, where do we find organic growth beyond our current product lines or services? Yet not lose sight of what our core competency is. And it's a big challenge for companies, I'll tell you, of all levels, small, big, large companies, as well as the entrepreneurial ones. Obviously, those small, fast rabbits, I call those startup firms, have a lot more leverage because they still haven't solidified what their long-term vision and strategy is. So they've got an opportunity to capitalize on this weakness and concern that these mid to large cap companies have. So we'll talk about both of those. So I wanted to kind of give you a feel for what the market looks like as well. And a recent survey that I had seen was of CEOs from large cap brands, and I do read these every once in a while, but I thought it was a great statistic for what we're talking about today, is that the CEOs of these large cap brands felt that, you know, over 65% of them indicated that within 5 to 7 years, their industry competitors would be different than who they are now. Now, that's an incredible number when you think about the attrition of these large cap companies with their competitors. And they're not even talking about new competitors at this point. They're talking about who we currently competing with today. They felt that over 65% of those who they're going to be competing with today, and these are large cap companies, were either going to be gone or going to be different. That's amazing. So what it does is it opens up an avenue, an opportunity for all of these small upcomers to grab market share from some of these large cap brands. But the concern, obviously, for the large cap brands is how do they stave off this new competition? So another question they had was that these new competitors will pose a significant market share threat to their organic business, is what they had indicated. So we're not even talking about new opportunities of growth, where they're currently at today, what's their vision for the future. So they're talking about their core, sustainable, long-term business, the products that they have a market share and pricing power on today, that's in jeopardy. So what we want to talk about today is that the brand's ability to stave off these competitors, number one, and number two, where do they find opportunities outside of their organic business and products or services? So the ability for a brand to find these alternative sources of revenue is going to be vital to sustaining their long-term growth. You know, finding another path to building a competitive edge within its core competency. And that's the key to this that I want to make sure is very clear. And when I talk to these large cap companies or these mid caps, is that to understand, I get that you have a concern with these new up-and-comers, these competitors, the threat to your organic business, your global market share. But understand, whatever we're looking at as far as new line extensions or growth or opportunities, that you have to be able to leverage your infrastructure some way, somehow, because that gives you an immediate and long-term sustainable competitive edge over these new up-and-comers in your category. So never lose sight of that. That you have built a very valuable, not only product or service, but an infrastructure, which is probably even more valuable. So when we look at this, the other statistic that I looked at was that over 40% of these brands, these large cap, these mid cap brands, ongoing revenue is projected to come from these new revenue streams. So as you're looking and setting your vision for where do we take our company in the future, you're not alone. These big cap companies are also looking at the same thing. They're looking at it at an unbelievable statistic that they're probably going to have to either disrupt, innovate, or find a new revenue stream that's going to make up 40% of their ongoing revenue stream. So this is a vision that's set by the leader, this visionary inside of the company who sets and creates a path for realizing the future. And why there's so few of them is why so few are successful in doing it. And so when you look at these great visionaries, then you'll also have to look at them for being able to identify, realize, and implement these great visionary ideas that create their future. So you look at, you know, what is this engine that's going to drive the future? And what do these competitors look like? You know, having that 65% of the competitors that these large cap, mid cap companies are dealing with in the future are going to be effectively startups or somebody different. How do these startups go after this market share? How do they go after this revenue opportunity? And so the main engine for, you know, why these small startups can quickly become a threat, and interestingly enough, when you look at this new environment that we're in today, it has always been very capital intensive to start a company. And so you'll look at both products and service companies, and they can scale with very little capital, you know, nowhere near what it was required in the past. And so when you look at, hey, when do you want to start a business? What is your competitive edge? Where do you see the addressable market? And one of the numbers that frequently, if not in every instance on startups, was completely off or significantly off from where they had projected was the capital required to not only start, build, and grow, but maintain that business for a generation. And why over 95% of businesses fail in the first generation, 80% in the first 5 years, and then the other 90% in the next 5 years. So it's a pretty staggering number and a very frustrating number. But what I will say is, and why these large cap companies and CEOs are looking at this competitive threat, is they also recognize that the ability to scale, they don't need as much capital. And the rules have changed from what they look like in the past to what we are today. So it's a bright light for these small startup companies to be able to capture long-term market share from these large cap leaders, but also the fact that they don't need as much capital as they had before. Now, there's people that just waste money, which there's plenty of those. And some of you that invested in SPACs certainly can attest to that, that money seems to just fall through the hands of these founders without really any accountability. But I'm talking about these startups that have an idea, a idea that's been well thought out with an addressable market and a defined pro forma financial plan that actually shows them the path to success. So efficiency has become this new norm, and the effective use of capital has become the new avenue to revenue growth for these small startup companies. So when you look at those combined, efficiency and effectiveness of capital are two areas that will sustain a startup company for generations. So tools and technology, you know, will win for those who understand this opportunity and can quickly adapt to this, what we call this ever-changing environment that we're in today. It's allowed these companies to be more effective. It's allowed these companies to be more efficient. But when you look at these large cap companies, you know, being able to put ideas on the board and be able to implement and execute that idea and commercialize it and actually have it be a profitable revenue generator is a whole nother story. You know, when we look at previous opportunities that these big companies have seen, where does it come from or where do they find revenue growing opportunities? Most of these have come from the usual suspects, right? It's this geo expansion, international growth. The second was product line extensions. The third was, hey, let's expand our customer demo. You know, these are all still viable opportunities, but each of these normally with the brands that we work with are already attacked or already have been put in place and maximized to its fullest potential. So the question then becomes on the board is, where do we find this new revenue engine, this new opportunity to grow our business beyond where our current core organic business is? So these three areas have been this traditional path to generational success. But what we find is this path has changed, and brands will need to find new avenues to maintain their category dominant market share and continual consistent growth that Wall Street requires. You know, those of you who are still private and still growing, you can kind of control your own destiny. But when you look at a public company, which we deal with many of them, they can't control their own destiny. They're beholden to the shareholders and the board of directors, and they need to find avenues for growth. So they have to be very proactive in their strategy around not short-term growth, but what's going to continue to grow their brand, business, service on a generational level, meaning you can put up your short-term strategy as to how to maximize current organic business, but what are you going to do from a strategic standpoint to grow your brand for the next generation to the next generation? That is what most brands are challenged with today because of the rapidly changing environment that we're in today. We've obviously been through an unprecedented last 2 years with COVID. But what I did find in most of the companies that we work with is that it forced them to change. A change that even before COVID was needed, their technology strategy, their digital marketing strategy, their operational and sourcing strategy, all of these things needed to be changed. They had just become complacent. So many of them found it to be an opportunity to kind of take a deep breath, recognize where their weaknesses were, and strengthen those through COVID. So when you look at this traditional path to success and seeing what this new avenue looks like, this continual consistent growth, what do brands do? So what I say is this growth is going to be executed by establishing another path and developing a new core business that can tangibly provide sustainable revenues and profitability for the company, but is part of their core competency. There can be a new core business, but it has to fit within their competency and ability to execute it, or it will fail. It'll be no different than another startup that falls in the ruins of 95% of those failing. Big brands, just because you're big does not mean you will be successful. You have a certain competency. So for your ability to stretch outside of that competency puts you in the role of a startup. You just have more resources. You have more core ability to sustain losses versus a small startup. But nonetheless, it becomes a hit on your P&L and your balance sheet and your reputation. So you want to make sure that you understand as you're doing this for generation to generation success, that you understand first and foremost on the board what your core competency is. What do you do that's great? And I'm not just talking about products and I'm just talking about services, but it could be an operational efficiency you have. It could be a sourcing efficiency that you have. So all of these areas need to be tangible and also translatable to a new core business opportunity. And I'll give you a great example. You know, for instance, Apple's expansion beyond its core PC business, where they introduced the iPod, then the iPhone, the iPad, and building this incomparable ecosystem. And people don't recognize that. When you look at a product, a static product, where Steve Jobs looked at it as an ecosystem, how do we fit into the lifestyle, the daily lives of people's business? And that's how Apple was able to execute this ecosystem that we can't live without every day. So these are things that, now that's a once in a lifetime, not just a generation. So I give you that as an example for aspiration and inspiration. So this ecosystem they built allowed Apple, once they did complete it, to move into other product categories such as watches, where they've now become the industry standard for the digital age. So that's an incomparable story with an incomparable brand that has executed seamlessly. But it fits into the fold of what we're talking about as far as finding another avenue for growth beyond geo expansion, beyond product line extensions, beyond expanded customer demos. That's all old hat, things everybody's been doing. But what can you do that's going to allow you to sustain your business from generation to generation? So what I've found is that, you know, to determine the viability and opportunity to build this new revenue path, I've found four key foundational elements that are needed to measure this potential success of your new opportunity that you've defined. The first is, which may seem logical to people, but until you put it up on the board, it's very difficult, is define a market with a large sustainable profit opportunity. And I say profit opportunity because this isn't about giving things away. You'll find many businesses that, hey, let's give things away in order to define who we're going to be selling this product to or this service to. You need to find a path of sustainable profit within a new category of business that fits within your core competency. And this can be achieved through a strategic complementary acquisition. This can be achieved on an extension within the category that you're at today. This kind of goes towards Apple's principle of, hey, we're PC, but we can build a watch. So these are areas that you'll need to make sure you put up on the board. And we do this with the companies we work with. It's an exercise that we do. We start from ground zero in identifying what is the core competency of the business. What are some sustainable advantages that we have over the competition? Where do we see lateral opportunities within the marketplace today? So, you know, put all of these up on the board. It's really kind of a brainstorming session, but make sure that whatever you do, define a market with a large, sustainable opportunity. And I say sustainable because it can't be a one-hit wonder. You want to make sure that it's sustainable over generations. So that's number one. Number two is have a sustainable competitive advantage. You know, after defining the market, ensure that you have an immediate competitive advantage over the incumbents. And I'll give you a great example of Amazon with their AWS segment. You know, they define their point of difference. They leverage their core competency and are extremely effective, efficient in their new business category against their competitors and leapfrogged over them almost immediately. So that defined point of difference will be critical to providing a value beyond the product to your customers. So make sure that you're defining that. The third one is, which I love, being an entrepreneur myself, having built my own company, sold it to a VC firm before joining Oakley and K-Swiss and the other brands, and then eventually Liquid Mind, where I'm at today. Be an entrepreneur. You know, some of these big brands forget, and I talk to these large and mid-cap companies leaders all the time, is, you know, you need to go back to when you were an entrepreneur, if you were. And that's why it's so valuable to have somebody at the top that has been an entrepreneur or at least understands the concept of startup. You get an appreciation for how hard it is. how strategic you have to be. And many times what I find with these large brands is they lose sight of the fact of what's required in order for them to be successful, even though they are big. So they've been in these ivory towers too long. They need to understand what it's like to be agile and fearless, yet frugal. It's an interesting combination, and I put these up on the board as well, as agile, fearless, frugal. Those things don't mesh with large and mid-cap companies. They mesh with startups. They understand we need to be aggressive. We need to be risky. We need to embrace failure, but we need to be frugal about it. We need to make sure that we're fearless about it. So only those who have been in that seat understand that principle. So I say, get back in that seat and be an entrepreneur. Number four is leverage your current core capabilities. You know, you're not starting from scratch, but you must be able to leverage all of those existing assets and resources that you have that these small startup companies don't. So leverage your current core capabilities. You know, this will provide a much needed, what I call velocity, to the integration and implementation timelines. You know, it takes a long time for these startups to get going, but they're starting up much quicker now with less capital, so it's a much different environment. So you need to have that velocity as a large or mid-cap company, and you can do that through leveraging your core capabilities. So those are the four principles I feel that if you're going to be identifying something that's generational, something that when you look at not near-term but long-term strategy for long-term growth, these are four areas that you need to define at your company in order for that to be successful. So when you look at this, defining a market with a large sustainable profit opportunity, a sustainable competitive advantage, going back to being an entrepreneur and understanding how hard that is, and leveraging your core capabilities. These are four areas you're going to need in order to be successful long term. So each of these by itself is never as good as all four working in unison. And I say that because it complements the velocity of how quickly you can implement this strategy and how long that strategy lasts and how effective it is. So in order for you to achieve sustainable growth, you know, you must embrace that vision of finding a new complementary path to your success. So I want to thank you for listening today on the Visionary Chronicles. Hopefully this has been useful to you and you can execute and implement it in your brand and company. I want to thank you for joining us on the Visionary Chronicles podcast today. Really appreciate your time. I know you've got a million things going at you each day. But if you find the content useful, which I hope you do, and we've had great growth in response to the Visionary Chronicles podcast, that you would subscribe. We're available through almost every podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Podbean, any of those sites. We would appreciate you subscribing. And as part of that subscription, you'll also receive exclusive content. And we also have premium service as well as a newsletter that we send out to those who are our subscribers. So again, thank you for your time. We look forward to providing some additional great content on the next episode of the Visionary Chronicles podcast.